So, hey, if you're watching this on May 10th, 2020, it is Mother's Day. And we are celebrating mothers because why? Well, we all have one. And even if someone has told you you were hatched, even then you had a mother. Now, I have not seen Mother's Day prescribed in the list of holy days to celebrate, but I have found a scripture that does tell us that we are to give honor where honor is due. That is from Romans 13:7. And when we look at this scripture, we understand it's talking about those in authority, those in leadership. And that's certainly a role moms play. They've had great influence, authority, and leadership in all of our lives. And so we want to acknowledge that today and honor them. Let's start with Leviticus 19:3. It says, "Each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." Exodus 20:10, and this is the first of the time we hear it in the Ten Commandments, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord God is giving you." Deuteronomy 15:16, Moses repeats this again to the Israelites, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord God is giving you." You see, this commandment to honor your parents comes with blessing. When you honor your parents, you will live long and you will do well. It's a good thing. It's a commandment of God. When we look in the New Testament, Jesus in Matthew 15:1-6 confronts some of the religious leaders because they've substituted the word of God with their own traditions, he says. They've taken out this honoring of parent and added their own tradition, saying, well, if you do this with your money and it looks kind of godly or religious, then you don't have to take care of your parents. You don't have to honor them. And he says that's a dangerous game to play. You are messing with the word of God. And you've placed your traditions higher than God's intention. Okay, so Jesus is a really good model for us to take a look at it, how he treated his mom. So now, one of the things we may think of, well, Mary was an easy person to be kind and honoring to because she was such a perfect mom. But you know what? She really wasn't. I'm not saying she was a terrible mom by any means, but she wasn't perfect. And if you look, I'm going to ask you first, as a mom, or have you ever lost your child? You know, where they, maybe you're in Walmart or in a mall somewhere or out in a park or even on your own neighborhood, and they've kind of gone missing. You don't know where they're at and you get a little freaked out. Well, the same thing happened to Mary. If you remember the story about where the whole family or the whole community actually goes to Jerusalem for the Passover festival, and on their way back, Mary and Joseph make the assumption that Jesus is with the group, and they're a whole day down the road from Jerusalem when they finally realize the kid isn't with them. And of course they freak out and they go all the way back, and it takes them 3 days to find him. But hey, Mary relates to what it's like to lose your kid. Okay, we're going to read from John 2:1-7. "Now on the third day, a wedding took place in Canaan in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, 'They have no more wine.' 'Woman, why do you involve me?' replied Jesus. 'My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.' Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, 'Fill the jars with water.' So they filled them to the brim." Now we know the rest of the story. And really, when you think about this, Mary has stepped out ahead of God's plan. But Jesus still fulfilled it because he was fulfilling all righteousness, honoring his mother and honoring her request. Mary was not a perfect mom, but she was fulfilling the destiny God had called her to in raising her son to fulfill his destiny. And that destiny was a promise made way back in the garden. Now let's go to another scene in scripture. This scene is where Jesus is dying on the cross. And even there, he honors his mother with making sure that there is someone who will take his place as the eldest son and care for her in her old age. John 19, 25-7. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his house. So Jesus, even when he was dying on the cross, was honoring Mary, his mother, by fulfilling his role as the firstborn son. That's amazing, isn't it? So why has God put such emphasis on mother, on honoring parents, and today particularly mothers? Well, let's go back to the garden, back to Adam and Eve. And we see in Genesis 2, Adam was formed. And that word formed literally means squeezed together from the dust of the earth. But in Genesis 2:22, we see that God took a rib from Adam. And it says he built or made, which means built, like an architectural design, finely crafted. And he did this, it says to... in the understanding of that word built, to establish a family, to cause it to continue. He created woman. He fashioned her to establish family. Eve is our first mother. And in Genesis 20 or 3:20, Adam names his wife Eve because she would become the mother of the living. You know, we have a catchphrase now that's the new normal. That will be probably the word for 2020, the new normal. But, you know, every mother has experienced the new normal and many new normals. Every mother that became, when she became pregnant, there was a new normal in her body. It kept changing. And as it changed, she needed a new wardrobe. There was a new normal there. And after the baby was born, well, there is definitely a new normal there. Life would not return to what it had been. This new mother has a new schedule, and this tiny little person has become her focus. Life and love and family and change of focus is all become the new normal. And most moms, when they become moms, live for their children. Now, let's go back to God's design for woman, her destiny. And after the fall, where God, he has confronted Satan, he's confronted Adam, and he's confronted Eve, we know that Adam calls Eve the mother of the living. And when he calls her out, he's calling out the fulfillment of the promise of God, the promise God had just made to them. In Genesis 3:15, it says this, "And I will put enmity between you," and he's talking about the serpent, "and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Right there, we have a promise of a Savior. And as we know, he is revealed in Jesus. Of course, much further down the road in history. We have God in this moment restoring Eve back to her destiny. And Adam prophesying, calling out her destiny, where God will use her, her offspring, to save mankind. The calling of woman, that mothering nature, that nurturing, what does that mean? And what does that look like through God's creative word? God has created and designed a purpose for woman. And it's best described in Proverbs 31. Now, I'm going to ask you, because it's Mother's Day, how many of you ever made a Mother's Day card, the acrostic style poem, you know, where you put the letters this way of each M-O-T-H-E-R, it spells mother, and then with each letter you wrote something special about your mom that started with that letter. That's an acrostic poem. And Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10 all the way to the last verse, verse 31, is an acrostic poem. It uses all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet to describe the woman of God, the bride of Christ, a wife and a mother. So I'm just going to read a few excerpts from Proverbs 31, the Passion Translation. She is a woman of strength and mighty valor. She is full of wealth and wisdom. Her husband entrusts his heart to her. She brings him the richest spoil of victory. She brings him what is good, not evil. She is pure and righteous. She delights in the work of her hands. She gives out revelation truth to feed others. She brings divine supplies. She sets food on the table. She wraps herself in strength, might, and the power in all she works. She shines light no matter how dark the night. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She lays hold of the wheels of government. She is known by her extravagant generosity to the poor. She always reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of tribulation, for all her household is covered in dual garments of righteousness and grace. Her clothing is beautiful. Her husband is famous and admired by all. Her works of righteousness she does to benefit her enemies. Bold power and glorious majesty are wrapped around her as she laughs with joy over the latter days. Her teachings are full of wisdom and kindness as loving instruction pours from her lips. She watches over the ways of her household and meets every need they have. Her sons and daughters arise in one accord to exalt her virtues, and her husband arises to speak of her in glowing terms. But it is this virtuous woman that lives in wonder, awe, and fear of the Lord. She will be praised throughout eternity. So go ahead and give her the credit that is due, for she has become a radiant woman, and all her loving works of righteousness deserve to be admired at the gateway of every city. I want to say amen and amen to that. I want to end quickly with just a note of thinking about the Apostle Paul, and he's encouraging Timothy. And in 2 Timothy 1:5, he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. I am persuaded now lives in you. You know, it's these mothers that and grandmothers that have helped Timothy come into the destiny that God had called him to. When we look at Eve and Mary, and briefly here at Lois and Eunice, we see women who are raising children to godly destinies. And I want you to never think of what you're doing as a mother to be something small and insignificant. You are raising up people into godly destinies. So to all you women who have continued to nurture children, raising up sons and daughters to godly destiny, to you who support, nurture, and encourage those that God has surrounded you with, to you women with children born of natural birth, or you who have adopted, to those of you who have been adopted by the orphan soul, to the praying grandmothers and the mothers and the spiritual mothers, may you know the call and destiny God has designed in you to establish his family. Amen. God bless. See you soon.